I wonder if any of you remember, back in the 60s, there was a very popular television comedy. It's called The Beverly Hillbillies. I would imagine they're still showing the reruns. Anyway, one of the characters in the show was a guy named Jethro. Jethro Bodine. Big, strong, handsome, but not very bright young man. He was always getting himself into situations where wisdom was needed, and he just didn't have it. Well, Jethro had an uncle, Uncle Jed. Uncle Jed seemed to care about Jethro, and one of the memorable taglines that you'd hear over and over again throughout the episodes, after Jethro had gotten himself into another jam, Uncle Jed would walk away and say to himself, "Someday I'm going to have a long talk with that boy." Any of you remember that? Well, as far as I can tell, he never did have that talk with Jethro, because episode after episode, the same thing kept happening. Well, today, we're going to have that long talk. I think, oh, great, I'm going to get a lecture now. Yep, that's right. That's exactly what this is. This is a father-son lecture from the book of Proverbs. It's actually the second father-son lecture. There was one in chapter 1. But in Proverbs chapter 2, we're going to see a father addressing his son. But whether your name is Jethro or Uncle Jed or Ellie Mae or even Granny, this is for you. This is a word that addresses us all, because no matter how young or how old we are, we're all in need of God's wisdom. Jethro was actually the perfect example of what Proverbs terms the simple fool. Naive, gullible, lacking experience, silly, actually more unformed than malformed, and therefore at risk. There are other kinds of fools that we're going to come across in the book of Proverbs, but this simple fool, this unformed person, it's where we all begin in life as children. And it's where we still may be if there's no one to guide us, if we're left to ourselves, if we're without anyone to train us, anyone to restrain us, if there's no one there to check us, we can head down a road that leads to greater and greater foolishness, and then there's nothing funny about it. Then comedy turns to tragedy. Today I want to talk to you about two very different paths. Two very different paths that lead to two very different destinies. But before we read the chapter, I want to speak a word to fathers. God is a father. And God is a father to the fatherless. Proverbs is written to all of us as his children, but I want to address specifically earthly fathers, and by implication, mothers as well, because when Proverbs talks about a father, the mother's instruction is always very close at hand. But as dads, we occupy a very privileged position in the lives of our children. We have a special authoritative access to them, to their hearts, which no one else has. J.C. Ryle has written, "God made children in such a way that they will trust your word and not a stranger's." So as fathers, we should strive to win the hearts of our children with kindness. We should try to enter their worlds and see things from their point of view. When we discipline them, we should do so with a patient heart, of love, with their good in mind. We should strive to be consistent examples, confessing our sins where appropriate. And we should take advantage of the many training opportunities that we're presented with. And we should take advantage of the many wonderful materials that we have. As a matter of fact, I mentioned J.C. Ryle. There's a little booklet called How a Child May Be Trained. I didn't check to see how many are in our bookstore, but I will make sure that there are plenty in the weeks ahead. This is especially gold for parents of young children, how a child may be trained. And with regard to teens, Paul Tripp's book, Age of Opportunity, is a wonderful, wonderful book. Throughout the year, we are holding child training seminars. We'll try to make you aware of when they come up, because we think that this is very, very important. I want to encourage you, please do not be indolent in this task. You will regret it if you are. And one thing in addition, there's a lot of wisdom in this church. We can benefit from the wisdom of others. If there's one thing I would do differently as a dad, and all my children are grown now, it's that I would more quickly and more consistently humble myself and ask for the help of others. You don't have to make the same mistakes that I've made. It's a word to dads. Now, with regard to children, as children approach adulthood, they're often tempted to question their parents' authority. I know I certainly did. You may be familiar with something that Mark Twain said. He wrote, "At the age of 16, I thought my father was so ignorant. By the time I was 21, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned in 5 years." I remember reading something a few years ago. It went like this. The 6-year-old says, "My daddy knows everything." The 16-year-old says, "My dad doesn't know anything." The 26-year-old says, "I wonder what advice dad might have about this." The 36-year-old says, "We're not doing anything until we talk to dad." And the 46-year-old says, "I sure wish dad was still around so we could ask him about this." The wisdom that we're looking at here in Proverbs can be described as skill in living. But it's skill in living that honors and glorifies God, our Father. The root of it is relationship with God. Last week, Josh spoke on that verse. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Psalm 111 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." God has built wisdom into the fabric of creation. There's an order to creation, and He reveals this order, this wisdom, the way things work. He reveals it to those who fear Him. That is, those who set Him in the rightful place that He deserves above everything and everyone else. Wise, skillful living enables us to handle the twists and turns that come at us in life. And this is where experience comes in. Normally, we would expect an older person with more life experience to be wise simply because they've passed through more of life's hazards. And that's why parents are to train their children in wisdom. That's why Paul tells Titus to have the older women train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to love their homes. And that's why, if you have a younger couple that's going through a difficulty, to talk to an older couple that's been through the same thing and say, "Listen, by the grace of God, we went through this and you can do it too." That kind of wisdom is gold, and it's available here in the church. It just requires us getting to know people and having the humility to ask for help. It's just a little bit about the kind of wisdom that we're talking about. And now I'd like to read with you Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to put on the end of this 2 verses in chapter 4. And the Word of God says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. And if you turn over the page to Proverbs 4, verses 18 and 19. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Here's what I think this passage of Scripture is telling us. We travel safely on the pathway of wisdom when we fear the Lord and treasure His words. We travel safely on the pathway to wisdom when we fear the Lord and treasure His words. And there are two points that I would like to make regarding this. The first is we must seek wisdom diligently in order to receive it. We must seek wisdom diligently in order to receive it. Or I could put it in the form of a question. Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Do you really want wisdom? Look again at Proverbs 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for wisdom and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, this is an invitation to seek wisdom. My son, this is the Father standing in the place of God, giving instruction for seeking wisdom. And this is God the Father speaking to us, His children. And this is where wisdom starts. This is where it begins, receiving God's words. My son, if you receive my words. It is absolutely the basic first step, and it's where we are most likely to miss the path right from the get-go. Now, Jesus emphasized this repeatedly when He said the words, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." He said that many times. It's because we are not inclined to hear by nature. He even devoted an entire parable, the parable of the sower, to emphasize this point. The word goes out, it's proclaimed, it's preached, but it doesn't necessarily bear fruit because there are all kinds of ways that it can miss the mark. It can fall on the beaten path. It can fall on the shelf rock. It can fall among thorns. But when it falls in the good soil of a good heart, it can bear fruit. Receiving God's words takes effort. It takes work. It requires a choice on your part to attend. That means to give attention to the words. It's actually being demonstrated by you right now at this very moment. How are you hearing? Oh, you're listening, but are you hearing? You know, God has ordained the preaching of His Word to be the representation of His written revelation in Holy Scripture. It doesn't matter who the preacher is, although some preaching can be better than others, that's true. But the fact that the Word is being proclaimed is so very important. It's one of the marks of the true church, the right preaching of God's Word. And when it's proclaimed, God's Spirit anoints it to the hearts of those who attend. That is, who give attention, who listen, who make the choice, the hard choice, to avoid distractions and focus on what's being said. It's not easy to do, but it's very important. You and I need to hear the proclaimed word in the gathered church. Your private reading of Scripture, as important as it is, and it is very important, is insufficient. You and I both need to hear the proclaimed word in the gathered church. And that's what's going on here right now. But I'll tell you, speaking for myself, all too often, I'm dull of hearing. I'm sitting out there where you are, and I'm thinking, I am so tired. I'm thinking, I've heard this passage preached before. Somebody walks by and I'm distracted. I wonder what we're going to have for lunch today. I mean, all of these things are thoughts that go through my mind, and I don't think I'm much different than you. Fighting through the distractions. It's one of the reasons we got the iMag, because it makes it easier for those that are further back to attend without distraction. It's why we have a wonderful sound system here, so that you can hear the Word clearly. All this is very important because it has to do with hearing God's Word. But if you look back at the verbs that are used in this little section here, we're told to receive God's Word. We're told to treasure up God's commandment. Other versions say hide His commandment. Hide them as you would hide a valuable treasure. Hide them up in your heart. Make your ear attentive. You've got to make your ear attentive. It says incline your heart. Other versions say incline your ear. Some of you who know me well know that I have some hearing loss in my right ear. There's too much Led Zeppelin early in my life. If I'm listening to you, it takes a little bit of work. I have to incline my good ear to hear you. Sometimes you'll see me cup my ear. It takes work, it takes effort, but if I want to hear you, that's what I have to do. Is your heart inclined to God's Word? Do you have an inclination toward the words of God, the words of wisdom? Do you have a taste for God's Word? Maybe you don't. You have to acquire a taste for these things. Just think, how many times, how often have I read God's Word myself this past week? And if you haven't, maybe you've lost your taste for God's Word. But I've got good news for you. Do you know how you acquire a taste for something? You keep on tasting until you acquire a taste. Classical music, for instance. Some people listen to it, totally. But if you listen to it and continue to listen to it, you can acquire a taste for something that really is very valuable. But the point is, it takes effort. And in verses 3 and 4, the effort intensifies. If you call out for insight, if you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hid treasures. Calling out and raising your voice. Do you ever do that in prayer? Do you ever literally call out to God? I can remember a time in my life when I really knew I needed wisdom. I was a young man and I knew that marriage was going to be on the horizon and I did not want to blow it. And I can remember driving regularly my car and just saying, God, give me wisdom. God, give me wisdom. And God answered that prayer. He gave me Clara. Praise the Lord. Here's the question about wisdom. Do you really want it? Do you really want it? Say, yeah, I'm open to it. Well, if that describes you, you will not be wise. There's nothing cool about this. The cool person says, I'm okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't need anything. I'm cool. But cool is really fool, just with a different spelling. The person growing in wisdom, I speak from experience, my friends. I was cool. I know that may be hard to believe, but ask people that were in my high school class and they'll tell you. And I'm not proud of it. The person who's growing in wisdom will not be ashamed to cry out for wisdom and insight and understanding and mercy. This invitation to seek wisdom, you may notice, is in the form of a what we call a conditional statement, an if-then statement. There are certain conditions that if you fulfill them, then the result comes, the conclusion. So, if you receive my words, if you call out for insight, if you seek it as silver, and then verse 5, we get the next part. Then, and you think the answer is going to be, then you will get wisdom. But that's not what it says. What does it say? If you do all these things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So, no, I was looking for wisdom. Oh, no, no. This is what you're really looking for, whether you know it or not. You're looking for the fear of the Lord, and you're looking to find the knowledge of God. That's what we're really looking for. We want to know God. We want to understand Him. We're not just trying to find some successful keys for life. We're not trying to find the secret to success. We are looking for the living God. There is no wisdom apart from Him. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian, but you're interested. And we are so glad that you're with us. But to come to know Him, you must do as we have done. You must see that you are a sinner and that your sins have separated you from God because He's a holy God. But God loved the world so much, including you, that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, not for His sins. He had none. He died to pay the penalty for sinners like you and me. And if you will repent of your sin, if you will turn away from everything that offends God, and if you will believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the payment for your sins, then He will forgive you and you will become His child. And you will have taken the very first step on the pathway to true wisdom. That's how it works. As I said earlier, true wisdom is relationship with God at its root. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom. Now, here's how it works. You have to really want it. You have to demonstrate your desire for it through consistent effort in appropriate ways. But even when you do that, you do not earn wisdom. We don't earn anything by our efforts. It says that God gives wisdom. Look at verse 6. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth come knowledge and understanding. There's a wonderful interplay here between faith and obedience. We are to obey. We are to do these things. Faith and obedience are not opposed to each other. They're both manifestations of His grace. We seek wisdom. We pay attention to God's word. We incline our hearts. We cry out. And then God gives. He gives as a gift wisdom to us. We don't earn it. He delights to give it. The Lord gives wisdom. It resides with Him. It's His either to give or to withhold. He gives it to those who really want it, along with knowledge and understanding, but we don't earn it. He gives it as a gift. So I ask, do you really want it? I hope so, Because, and this is the next point, you really need it. Or we could say it in another way. Those who receive God's wisdom will be protected by it. Those who receive God's wisdom will be protected by it. Remember, we travel safely on the pathway of wisdom when we fear the Lord and treasure His words. Those who receive it are protected by it. You know, it's through many dangers, toils, and snares, Newton said in Amazing Grace. In verse 7, the writer, Solomon, introduces us to certain imagery. The imagery of the two paths. Two very different paths. Two paths that are not only different, but divergent and lead to divergent destinies. I'd like to go back through this again and suggest that you mark your Bibles in a certain way. And so, you don't have to do this, but it's a suggestion. If you have something to write with and you don't mind marking your Bibles, this is what I would suggest you do. When you come across phrases that indicate the path of wisdom, circle those phrases. And when you come across a phrase that refers to the path of evil, underline it. And we're going to get a head start here, going back to verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, circle, and watching over the way of His saints, circle. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, every good path, circle. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, underline, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of righteousness, circle, who rejoice, to walk in the ways of darkness, that's underline, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, underline, and who are devious in their ways, underline. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed, underline, those are paths to death. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life, circle. So you will walk in the way of the good, circle, and keep to the paths of the righteous, circle. Wow. Whenever you see things emphasized by repetition like that, that's a clue. It wants to tell us something. It wants to tell us that there are two paths. Now, he uses different terminology, but the point is the same. You can go one way, or you can go the other way. Notice also, there's some other imagery in this passage. Notice all of the words that refer to protection. In verse 7, he's a shield. In verse 8, guarding and watching over through wisdom. In verse 11, watching over again and guarding us through wisdom. In verse 12, we can be delivered from. All of those things have to do with protection. I need guarding. I need shielding. I need to be delivered from. What's the point? There's danger out there. There's danger. There are things that you and I need to be shielded from, delivered from, guarded, watched over. Those who receive God's wisdom will be protected by it. And what is it that we need to be protected from? Well, there are two particular dangers that are represented in these verses. They want to take us on wrong paths, and they are represented by people. We could call them the evil man and the forbidden woman. Do you see them there? In verse 12 and following, men of perverted speech. And in verse 14, delivered from the forbidden woman, the adulteress. These are people. And it's interesting, too, that these people are closely associated with words. They're men of perverted speech. And it's a woman, an adulteress, with smooth words. People, these people, come not with swords, but with words. They have voices. They are competing voices. They compete with the wisdom of God. God's words are spoken of in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words. Well, these are some other words. These are some other voices. Voices that are trying to persuade you and me to leave the right paths, the paths of the upright, the way of his saints, and to take paths of darkness. And these voices, these words, can be very, very subtle. We're told to receive the words of the Father, the words of God, but these people come with words. Some of the words are described as perverted or twisted. Others are words that are smooth. If you compare this with other passages that deal with much of the same thing, they represent together the twin temptations of easy money and easy sex. Easy money is money that you get without having to work. And easy sex is sex without commitment. Oh, they're both so very appealing, especially to the young, especially to youth. Youth in particular are especially vulnerable to these temptations. They're, I said, competing voices. They compete with God's word. They compete with God's wisdom. They want to lead you down a garden path to destruction. These voices can come through the entertainment media. You know, the thing about movies and television is they can recreate very real life situations. They can put up sets and they can have dialogue and they can just, it's right coming right out of the writer and the creator's mind. And they can create these life situations, very lifelike circumstances that are not real. And in many of these things, the normal consequences which follow wrong behavior are not experienced. So people can do all these kinds of things and it seems like it works, seems like it's okay. We watch, we enjoy it because we love to enter into make-believe worlds. It's fun, it's amusing, I do it too. But we have to be discerning. What really is going on here? Voices that come through the entertainment media, we've got to be very careful. We've got to be discerning. We've got to be treasuring up God's words first so that we can filter everything that we hear through the lens or through the filter of God's wisdom and God's truth. If we don't do that, we're liable to be led astray. Okay? Competing voices can come through our culture. As well, worldly culture that uses smooth words often to present things and sin as other than what it really is. I'm thinking of the euphemisms that are used in our culture today where adultery is referred to as having an affair. Perversions are represented as alternative lifestyles. And things like teens being sexually active. What is that? It sounds almost wholesome, sexually active. It sounds so much better than fornicating teens. But that's what it really is. And if you have the temerity to raise a point like that in health classes, one young lady I knew referred to sexually active, oh, you mean fornication? She was rebuked for being judgmental. Now, I'm not recommending self-righteousness about these things. We ought always to conduct ourselves with humility when we're interacting with people because we also are sinners, saved by grace. But we have to be clear about what is righteous behavior and what is sinful, what is wise and what is foolish. And to the teens and the youth, may I say to you, don't be deceived by the culture around you. Listen to the voice of God in Scripture. Listen to the voices of your parents. I assure you, no one loves you more than they do. No one desires your success in life more than your mom and dad. And they are much more aware of the dangers that lie ahead than you are. And you will be wise indeed if you are humble enough to realize that maybe those who have gone before me know a little bit more than I do. These competing voices can also come from friends who are themselves foolish. My best friend was the first one who offered me a joint. That was the first step in a long journey further away from God that resulted in depression and despair. I was already a fool. I didn't need any help, but my friends helped me become a bigger fool. There are actions, there are choices that we can take that will determine which path we proceed along. They are usually little choices that in and of themselves don't seem like a big deal. But when you add them up, they have a profound effect upon whether we become wise or foolish. Choices about what I'm going to watch. Choices about what I'm going to listen to. Choices about who I'm going to hang out with. Choices about where I'm going to go. The kind of job I take, the kind of atmosphere that it's going to be. Whether I'm going to participate in fellowship or whether I'm going to confess that sin that's got a grip on me or just continue living in the shadows. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been tempted to do these things. We've all done these things. Whether I'm going to play at Christianity or take it seriously, whether I really want to be wise. That was my question. Remember, do you really want it? Because you really need it. And not just so you'll have a successful life. This is going to determine yours and my eternal destiny. Remember, it's all related to the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. These two very different paths lead to divergent destinies. Chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 again. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Now, I know this can sound a little bit discouraging as I've laid out some of this, you know, very heavy stuff. That's for a reason. That's for a purpose. But there's two things I'd like to say in closing. The first one is that God delights to give wisdom to those who want it. It says in verse 7 that He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He stores up sound wisdom for us. I'm 59 years old and I've gone through some twists and turns in life. But I am aware that the greatest challenges that I have actually still lie ahead. I am going to have to pass through death to get into eternal life. There could be sickness. There probably will be suffering and trials related to illness that's going to be associated with that. These are things that I need wisdom for. God promises that He has stored up wisdom. And as I was thinking about this last night, I thought of trappers in the West back in the old days that would cache, C-A-C-H-E, cache provisions and implements that when they were going along their routes where they had their traps, if they got caught in a blizzard, there'd be a cache of food and provision that they could have that would keep them. That's kind of like what God does for us. We've got a journey ahead of us here, but God provides for us and He invites us to ask Him for wisdom. He says, if any man lacks Him, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. And He won't put you down for asking. He wants you to do that. He provides it for us along the way. So one thought I want to leave you with here is that God will provide wisdom all along the way. He'll provide it through His Word. He'll provide it through wise friends. He'll provide it in different ways And the other thought I wanted to leave you with is, if you're like me, thinking about this sort of thing, I am so grateful for the grace of forgiveness, because we've all fallen short in this. Brothers and sisters, to some degree, we are all fools that are stumbling along the pathway of life. We need God's help, and He knows we need His help. And all along the way, we need His mercy and His forgiveness. I want to tell you that this is where the gospel comes in. The gospel, like the fear of God, is not something that we encounter in the beginning of our journey and we leave it behind to somehow slug it out on our own. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes with us every step of the way. The mercy of God comes with us every step of the way. The forgiveness of God comes with us every step of the way. I don't care how bad you may have blown it. I don't care how foolish you may have been. The mercy of God through the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel of our salvation, that Christ died for your sins and mine as we trust in Him, is there for us. Jesus, we're going to see, is Himself the wisdom of God. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Wisdom is there, but the question remains, do you really want it? Because my friends, you and I really need it. But God gives wisdom to those who seek Him. He stores up sound wisdom for the righteous.